Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up? This is DeJuan Boyd, a.k.a. DJ Rabbit, representing Rabbit Productions, hanging out chilling with my girl, Cy Boogie. That's right, Cy Brown, right here on LifeRemixedRadio.com. Say word.
Hey, everybody. Good morning. It is Monday morning, September 29th, and it is your girl, Cy Brown, coming at you live from New York City, bringing you all of the news you can use, your daily dose of urban inspiration, pop culture, God, spirituality, and all that good stuff. You know my mantra every single day is just to rethink everything you know, period. Nothing more, nothing less. Today is a great day. Just want to share, a friend of mine just got a new job, so praise God. The economy, although everybody may say stinks, the economy is da-da-da-da-da-da-da. People are still getting hired. People are still working. People are still getting jobs. So I just want to say publicly thank God for that, because it's not a good look right now for those of you with jobs where you may be afraid or slightly fearful that you may not be able to keep them. And then for those of you who are looking for a job, just please stay faithful, stay vigilant. You know, be tenacious and all those good SAT words, because, like I said, a friend of mine just started a new job today. And I also want to share that another friend of mine moved over the weekend. So people still have money. People are still moving. The economy is still rolling, even though it seems pretty dire and it seems as though it's looking kind of shaky and kind of funny. People are still making moves. I know I'm still making moves. I've had to shift from what I thought I was going to be doing in life and where I thought my career was going to be headed, but I haven't stopped. I just am going in a slightly different direction. That's all. Just a little bit of a different direction. That's all. Nothing major, nothing heavy. And so that's that for Monday. We have a hugely important show today. All the shows that I do are very important, but today is, I always say this, I'm sorry. This is a very important show for today. Today we're going to talk about, of course, the economy. I swear this is not a financial show, but I just can't help talking about things that are important and things that are really affecting us in our daily lives. The economy is pretty darn major, and Citibank, as I reported over the weekend and reported at 6-something this morning and reported again as it was breaking on MSNBC, has taken over Wachovia. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. I'm going to talk about this gas shortage. I am going to talk about the bailout. I've got some juicy stuff for all of my listeners regarding that bailout. I'm going to talk about this missing girl. I don't know her name, don't know her state, but it's just the gist of what goes down with these Amber Alerts. I want to talk about a blog post that I made this weekend on LifeRemixedRadio.com. We're going to talk a little bit about the firings of the U.S. attorneys, and we're going to talk about my other political blog. Y'all know my phone is starting to, so sweet. My friend is texting me saying, have a good show. Hold on, everybody. I have to send her a text message back. Hold on. Okay. Sorry, I don't know how to walk and chew bubble gum at the same time, but I just had to respond to the text message. Everybody is always sending me well wishes to have a good show, have a good time, you know, continue to inform people, continue to let people, you know, be aware and raise their consciousness, because that's what it's all about. So based on that, I just want to tell everybody, I hope you had a great weekend. I had a pretty restful weekend. I did. But it was busy. I was blogging and just doing everything that Cy does. Just so you know, I have a new YouTube page. Well, of course, I always have Cy Brown on YouTube. But for those of you in the faith-based community or believers, I just started NYC Gospel on YouTube. So it's not totally fresh. All I did was transfer a lot of my other videos from my Cy Brown page to my YouTube page. So now there's, to my NYC Gospel page, because the interviews are pretty much the same. So you can check that out. And that's what it is. So now let's get into today's daily thought. I hope I don't sound too distracted, everybody. I just have so much on my mind. You know, I just study and read and pray and study and read and think and study and read and ponder every single day. So it gets to be a little bit heavy on your brain sometimes. So I hope everybody doesn't think I'm starting Monday morning sounding drab, because I'm really not. It could be that, or it could be the coffee that I had at like 5-something in the morning is starting to wear off. But in any event, let's jump right into today's Daily Thought from the Hill, which comes courtesy of Hillside Chapel and Truth Center. I've got to get on the ball because Wednesday starts October, and I don't have my book for October yet because I moved and I think I forgot to give them my new address. So I have to get on the ball with that. Okay, so for Monday, September 29th, 2008, our Daily Thought from the Hill reads as follows. I show up and God shows out. The filmmaker Woody Allen is quoted as saying 80% of success is showing up. Showing up means we prepare even when we don't feel like it. Showing up is creating a plan and sticking to it. When you don't feel like going to church, go anyway. When you don't feel like exercising, exercise anyway. When we don't give in to our impulses, we find that there is a blessing on the other side. Many writers carve out a few hours each day to write. They show up in front of their computer and they sit there even when they are uninspired to write. Showing up allows us to be in the right place at the right time for our success. Showing up puts us in the position to be motivated for action. When we show up, spirit shows out. I show up and spirit shows out. I make a commitment and I stick to it. I realize that when I make a commitment, spirit works through me to realize my goals. I show up, have faith, and allow spirit to show out in my life. Thank you, God, in me, as me, and so it is. And our scripture reading for today comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 26, verse 24. Fear not, for I am with you, and I will bless you. So that is our Daily Thought from the Hill, courtesy of Hillside Chapel and Truth Center. So I just want to say a big shout-out to everybody at Hillside Chapel and Truth Center. Thanks for the support. Thank you for the love and unconditional support that you show me every single day. Something weird is going on with the chat room. I opened up the chat room, and now it's closed, and I'm not quite sure why. So I'm reopening up the chat room. So for everybody listening, it should be open. There it is. It should be open in a second. So I'm hoping that everybody can log on. If not, we're just going to have to see what's going on, see what's happening with that. Okay, everybody, let's get into what's going on with Wachovia. For all of you that bank with Wachovia, just know that Citibank is now your bank. And it's funny because I told you all last week, maybe I shared too much on the radio, I don't know. But Washington Mutual is my bank. And last week, as soon as I heard, you know, everything that jumped off, I logged into my Washington Mutual account, and it said, welcome to J.P. Morgan Chase. I mean, that quickly it, you know, took over. Oh, hey, Tiff, good morning in the chat room. Hey, Pastor McDonald, and I think I saw True View. Just really quickly before I continue with my thought, Pastor McDonald, I posted that picture that you sent me onto the blog, liferemixedradio.com, so I have to get a statement from you so I can add words to the picture. So that's that. But let me get back to this because we have too much to cover today. I was just talking about this whole Wachovia thing. I've been reporting on this for the last couple of days over the weekend. I suspended my talk and all my blog posts about how much I love Chris Rock because I did watch him on Saturday night. So I was blogging about it before, and then I started blogging about it after I watched Chris Rock. But sure enough, we woke up this morning and back to this economic emergency crisis. I finally heard the word today, economic emergency, and I heard it, and it's a kind of a precursor. Remember we were talking that perhaps the week of October 5th, which is next week, an economic emergency is going to be declared and the election suspended. I said once, I'm saying it again. I'm only going to say it one more time. That'll be the third time. Just take heed to it, y'all. Just, you know, take heed to it. Let me read you a statement by Citigroup according to their press release, and then I'm going to get into all of the other things that I'm going to talk about today. So here is the blurb from the media as follows. It's not that long, taking about 2 to 3 minutes. Citigroup to buy Wachovia Banking Operations Monday, September 29th at 9:24 a.m. Citigroup will buy Wachovia's bank operations, FDIC says. Wachovia didn't fail. New York from the Associated Press. In the latest byproduct of the widening global financial crisis, Citigroup Incorporated will acquire the banking operations of Wachovia Corp in a deal facilitated by the FDIC. Citigroup will absorb up to $42 billion of losses in the deal, with the FDIC covering any remaining losses, the government agency said Monday. Citigroup will also grant the FDIC $12 billion in preferred stock and warrants. The deal greatly expands Citigroup's retail outlets and leaves it among the U.S. banking industry's big three, along with the Bank of America Corp and J.P. Morgan Chase & Company. Y'all see we only have three banks now, right? Okay. The deal comes after a fevered weekend courtship in which Citigroup and Wells Fargo and Company were both reportedly studying the books of Wachovia, which was suffering from mounting mortgage losses linked to its ill-timed 2006 acquisition of mortgage lender Golden West Financial Corp. The FDIC asserted that Wachovia didn't fail and that all depositors are protected and there will be no cost to the deposit insurance fund, even though it just said $12 billion in preferred stock is going to be issued to the FDIC. Let's read between the lines here. Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke in a statement Monday said he supports timely actions taken by the FDIC, quote, which demonstrate our government's unwavering commitment to financial and economic stability. Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson also welcomed the sale of Wachovia to Citigroup, saying it would, quote, mitigate potential market disruptions. Paulson said he agreed with the FDIC and the Fed that, quote, a failure of Wachovia would have posed a systemic risk, unquote, to the nation's financial system. As I've said before, in this period of market stress, we are committed to taking all actions necessary to protect our financial system and our economy, Paulson said. The sale of the Wachovia assets comes just days after government's seizure of Seattle-based Washington Mutual Incorporated, the largest bank failure in U.S. history. As details of its takeover unfolded, Wachovia shares plunged 91% in Monday pre-market trading to 91 cents. The stock had closed Friday at $10, down 74% for the year. Wachovia has been among the bank's hardest hit by an ongoing crisis in the mortgage market. It paid roughly $25 billion for Golden West at the height of the nation's housing boom. With that purchase, Wachovia inherited a deteriorating $122 billion portfolio of pick-a-payment loans, Golden West specialty, which let borrowers skip some payments. And that's the end of the report. That's just a twit coming in. Sorry if you heard the ding. Don't forget, follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Cy Brown. So that's that. The dominoes are still falling, everybody. The dominoes are still falling, and so we're just going to see how this goes. So that's that talking point I wanted to mention to all of you. I want to get into this bailout. For those of you that are listening, hold on, let me turn this thing down. I'm sorry, I just have so many things coming to me today. For those that are listening, I have a copy of the 110-page amendment to the Senate amendment. I can only send it to people that I know via email and via request, and I'm not giving my email address. So if you have my email address and you would like a PDF copy of this 110-page congressional document, I will email it to you. So that's enough said about that. So now let's go on to this whole bailout situation. Right now they've passed some information along, and we have to see how Congress is going to vote on it. I believe it goes to the Senate on Wednesday, and if it does, we're going to see if this actually passes through. But I want to read some stuff to you. This stuff that I'm reading, it's not really long in its pieces, but it is very informative. Okay, this is the summary of the Emergency Economic Stabilization Act of 2008. Let me make it a little bit bigger so that I can read it a little bit better. Hold on, y'all. Okay, there. It's called the Summary of the Economic, I'm sorry, the Summary of the Emergency Economic Stabilization Act of 2008, the EESA 08. And it only has 5 points to it, but these are the five reasons they put this thing together. Okay, I just see. I would like it. I'll hit you up on your email. Yeah, and you and I think it's for obvious reasons why I'm not putting my email out there. So I see that you want it. I'll get that to you today. Let me go back to this. The EESA of 08 summary, and it's five talking points of how they came to create this whole $700 billion budget. And if we remember correctly, George Bush, and I'm saying George Bush, just the, his people that get down with him, they originally submitted 3 pages. They originally submitted 3 pages and asked us to fund them $700 billion with a 3-page document. Finally, Congress grew some, you know what, I won't say it, but I want to say it. They got some hair on their chest. How about that? That sounds a little bit nicer. And they said, no, we need more information. We're not just going for this. We need some more information. So these are the five major points. Number one, stabilizing the economy. The Emergency Economic Stabilization Act of 2008, EESA, provides up to $700 billion to the Secretary of the Treasury to buy mortgages and other assets that are clogging the balance sheets of financial institutions and making it difficult for working families, small businesses, and other companies to access credit, which is vital to a strong and stable economy. EESA, which is the Emergency Economic Stabilization Act, also establishes a program that would allow companies to insure their troubled assets. That's number one, stabilizing the economy. And I'll put this up on my blog, Politics Remix, later. Number two, home ownership preservation. EESA requires the Treasury to modify troubled loans, many the result of predatory lending practices, wherever possible to help American families keep their homes. It also directs other federal agencies to modify loans that they own or control. Finally, it improves the, quote, Hope for Homeowners, end quote, program by expanding eligibility and increasing the tools available to the Department of Housing and Urban Development to help more families keep their homes. That's number two, homeowner preservation. Number three, oops, hold on. Sorry, guys, hold on. Number three is taxpayer protection. Taxpayers should not be expected to pay for Wall Street's mistakes. The legislation requires companies that sell some of their bad assets to the government to provide warrants so that taxpayers would benefit from any future growth these companies may experience as a result of participation in this program. The legislation also requires the president to submit legislation that would cover any losses to taxpayers resulting from this program from financial institutions. That's number three of five. And that's taxpayer protection. There's two more. No windfalls for executives. That's number four. Executives who make bad decisions should not be allowed to dump their bad assets on the government and then walk away with millions of dollars in bonuses. In order to participate in this program, companies will lose certain tax benefits and, in some cases, must limit executive pay. In addition, the bill limits, quote, golden parachutes, end quote, and requires that unearned bonuses be returned. Golden parachutes is when these people screw up the company, leave, and they get big bonuses. I wish my company did that for me when I left. The fifth element or the fifth aspect of the Emergency Economic Stabilization Act is as follows. Point five, strong oversight. Rather than giving the Treasury all the funds at once, the legislation gives the Treasury $250 billion immediately, then requires the President to certify that additional funds are needed, $100 billion, then $350 billion, subject to congressional disapproval. The Treasury must report on the use of the funds and the progress in addressing the crisis. EESA also establishes an oversight board so that the Treasury cannot act in an arbitrary manner. It also establishes a special inspector general to protect against waste, fraud, and abuse. So there go. I just read the 5 points in the summary of the Emergency Economic Stabilization Act of 2008. I don't know about y'all, but I don't know. That's like me asking my son to guard chocolate chip cookies. It just is a little baffling to me that we're going to have the same people who receive funding and money and perks from corporate America overseeing them. Is it just me, or is it, you know, I just don't get that. Now, it sounds good on paper, stabilizing the economy, home ownership preservation, taxpayer protection, no windfalls for executives, and strong oversight. Well, hell, don't we all want that? I know I certainly do, but I think the most frustrating thing is that we all know what needs to get done. That's not the issue. The issue is ensuring certain mechanisms are in place to make sure it gets done, and I think that's what's frustrating, because we can say all up and down and all up and through, this is what we need to do to get it done. This is what the government needs to do, or this is how we need to act. But unless certain mechanisms are put in place, are we not going to repeat the same thing? I'm terrified of waking up another morning and having another bank crash. I just can't take it anymore, because it's so detrimental. And y'all know last week we had a very long conversation how this whole thing that's going down has nothing to do with the actual banks. It has to do with the fighting, a spiritual war that's going on that many of us have no control over. And once we realize that this war is spiritual in nature, it allows us to put our armor up, get more grounded with the universe and where we're supposed to be, make sure God is an ever-present force in our life, and it just makes things a lot easier to deal with. Now that I'm going to put on my blog, politicsremix.com, and I'm also going to put it on Life Remix blog. But I just read the summary of the Emergency Economic Stabilization Act of 2008. I am also going to put the final bill. I'm giving you a lot of information, a section-by-section analysis of the legislation. That's going up on my blog as well. So I encourage you, please, to stay in touch with me via my blog. You can log on to liferemixradio.com and join the blog. You can either follow the blog through Feedblitz. You can join my mailing list. You can join the blog directly through Blogger. But there's just a bunch of ways. But I encourage you to just join my blog and follow my blog. I know Tiff, who always listens to the show, she follows the blog, because this stuff I'm posting right up, and if you don't want to wait until tomorrow's show, you'll already be privy to this information. So the EESA 5-point summary, which is economic stabilization, home ownership preservation, taxpayer protection, no windfalls for executives, and strong oversight, that will be posted on the blog after the show. I'm also posting a section-by-section analysis of the legislation, and I'm getting ready to read that to you right now. I'm not reading you all the minute details of it. I'm going to read to you the bullet points, and there are, let me see, 25, maybe 25 or something of them, maybe not even that many. It won't take me that long to read. But again, it's a section-by-section analysis of the legislation. And it reads as follows, but before I jump into that, let me just check the chat room, see what's going off in the chat room. Oh, a lot of stuff is going on. Okay, hold on. Hey, Yeshu, what's up, everybody? No, I just read, Yeshu, you may have to listen to the archive. Wachovia never officially crashed. It was bought before it could. Good morning, everybody. Hey, TrueView, what's going on, my darling? Tiffany says, I don't understand what it means for the government to be buying out these companies. Well, basically what's happening is, and here's my take on this, the government is buying up all these assets because this is the epitome of buy low, sell high. So if they're buying up all of our assets and they now control them, they can now sell them to other countries, and other countries will be running our banks. Do we not see what's going on, people? Do y'all not see this? Other countries will now be running our banks. And if they want to choose our currency, who owns the bank? So they can come in and say, we're using the Japanese yen or the British pound or the Deutsche whatever or the Mexican peso, and it will go down with the get down because we don't own it. Yeah, Yeshua. Yeah, man. Wow. That's why I'm trying to explain to y'all. This is not a war with cash. We've been in a cashless society for a very long time, an extremely long time. I remember when they changed the food stamp program from paper food stamps to a card. And I remember thinking, I did my paper in college, my final paper in college on welfare reform. And it was just, you know, kind of the mid-90s when they did that contract with America and Newt Gingrich and all that stuff. Well, I remember if you had a paper food stamp, you can go to the store and buy a 25-cent banana and get 75 cents in change back. You can now take that 75 cents in change and use it towards your car payment, your PSE&G bill, for New York, it's PSE&G and Con Ed, but whatever you wanted to put it to. But once it moved to a card, you now go to the grocery store and they swipe the money out of your account. Not only can they track where you spend it, but they can track what products you buy, how much Kool-Aid is sold in urban communities, how do we buy grape Kool-Aid more than we buy orange Kool-Aid, how many pounds of sugar, do we eat chicken or do we eat beef? I mean, do we not see what has been going on for quite a long time already? So, I mean, these are all the things that we have to look at, and these are all the things that we have to think about. Yeshua says, I thought it would be the Amero. It may be. True you, I doubt it's going to be the peso. I don't think it's going to be the peso. I know you can get the Amero in Mexico. True you says, Sai, am I still twitting? Yes, I am still twitting. So follow me on Twitter, SaiBrown.com. Just go to Twitter.com/SaiBrown. I am still on Twitter. And that's why you keep kind of hearing my cell phone dinging periodically, because that's twits coming in. Dropping seats, that it's all about the red Kool-Aid. Yeah, I mean, I just think, you know, when you really see why they're buying up all these companies. I remember I told you guys, I live in North Jersey, and we have a huge port, Port Elizabeth, right by Newark Airport. And a couple of years ago, they tried to sell the ports to this company in Dubai. And the unions are so very strong in New Jersey. I mean, New Jersey is a union state, baby. If you can't move or get down with anything if you're not in a union in Jersey. And they were like, you are not selling these ports. And those union guys got together, and that deal was shut down. But let me tell you something. If it had jumped off, and this was, and I believe if I'm getting my facts correct, I believe it was 2005, if that had sold, do you know they would have been financing our ports, and a company in Dubai would have owned our ports, the place in which we send and receive goods and products? I mean, it's just, I cannot fathom. I have such a challenging time wrapping my brain around every aspect about what is going on right now. And I beg and I plead with everybody not to be fearful, but be cognizant. That is the word that I think I need to just get a T-shirt. Just be cognizant and be aware of what is going on around us, because it's going down. But anyway, I want to finish getting this before I lose time. I just read to everybody the summary of the Emergency Economic Stabilization Act, as well as the 5 points contained therein, which was economic stabilization, home ownership preservation, taxpayer protection, no windfalls for executives, and strong oversight. And again, it will be posted on all of my blogs as soon as I get off the air. I now am going to jump right into the section-by-section analysis of legislation for what's going on with our money and what's going on with our government. I'm not touching on Wachovia anymore during today's show unless you guys bring it up, because I want to get into gas, this missing girl, the firing of the U.S. attorneys, which we got to pay attention to that as well, and then I want to talk about some other stuff. So here is the section-by-section analysis of legislation that will be posted on Life Remixed Radio when we get off the air. Title I, Troubled Assets Relief Program, and I'm not reading all that. I think the word is minutia. I'm not reading all that. I'm just reading the bullets. Section 1, Purchases of Troubled Assets. Section 102, Insurance of Troubled Assets. These are all of the things that are talked about in that 110-page document that everybody that was listening, y'all know how to get it. I already told you how to get it. If you missed it, you're just going to have to hit me up some other time. But I do have access to that document. Section 103 is considerations. Section 104 is Financial Stability Oversight Board. Section 105 is reports. Section 106, rights, management, sale of troubled assets, revenue, and sale proceeds. Section 107 is contracting procedures. Section 108 is conflicts of interest. Section 109, foreclosure mitigation efforts. Section 110, assistance to homeowners. Section 111, executive compensation and corporate governance. Section 112, coordination with foreign authorities and central banks. Pay close attention to that, please. Minimization of long-term costs and maximization of benefits for taxpayers. Section 114, market transparency. Transparency, please forgive me. Section 115, graduated authorization to purchase. Section 116, oversight and audit. Section 117, study and report on margin authority. Section 118, funding. Section 119, judicial review and related matters. Section 120, termination of authority. Section 121, Special Inspector General for the Troubled Asset Relief Program. Section 122, increase in the statutory limit on public debt. Here's my commentary. We just raised our debt ceiling to $11.3 trillion. It was $4 trillion a couple years ago. It's now $10 trillion. This is my commentary. This is not in this document. But the statutory limit on public debt is now $11.3 trillion. That means your grandkids, grandkids, grandkids are still going to be paying for this mess. Okay, I digress. Section 123 is credit reform. Section 124, hope for homeowner amendments. Section 125, congressional oversight panel. I wonder if they'll let me have a seat on that. Section 126, FDIC enforcement enhancement. Section 127, cooperation with the FBI. Now, why do we need cooperation with the FBI? Y'all better read this stuff. Section 128, acceleration of the effective date. Section 129, disclosure on exercise of loan authority. Section 130, technical corrections. Section 131, exchange stabilization fund reimbursement. Section 132, authority to suspend market-to-market accounting. I'm going to just read that one real quick. This restates the Security and Exchange Commission's authority to suspend the application of Statement Number 151 of the Financial Accounting Standards Board if the SEC, which is the Securities Exchange Commission, determines that it's in the public interest and protects investors. Watch that one also. Section 133, study on market-to-market accounting. Y'all see, because that's what got us into this mess, cooking the books. Pay attention, people. Section 134, recoupment. Section 135, preservation of authority. Now, Title II, and this is almost the end, budget-related provisions. Section 201, information for congressional support agencies. Section 202, report by the Office of Management and Budget in the Congressional Budget Office. Section 203, analysis in President's budget. Section 204, emergency treatment. Now, Title III is the tax provisions. Section 301, gain or loss from sale or exchange of certain preferred stock. Section 302, special rules for tax treatment of executive compensation of employers participating in the Troubled Assets Relief Program. That applies limits on executive compensation and the golden parachutes for certain executives. So that one, it sounds important, but it's just placing a limitation. And finally, Section 303 of the tax provisions of the final bill passed section by section. Extension of exclusion of income from discharge of qualified principal residence indebtedness. And this extends current law tax forgiveness on the cancellation of mortgage debt. All right, y'all, I just read all the bullets, the section-by-section analysis of the legislation. That, too, will be placed on my blog. Let me go back to the chat room before I start adding more commentary. Let me see what's going on in the chat room, everybody. Yeshua said, oh, yeah, the barbecue chicken. Yeah, we're talking about a lot of stuff, my friend. Yeah, Dubai is doing it big. Yeah, I saw a special. This is from TrueView. I saw a special on Dubai. They are balling over in Dubai. Everybody's saying, hey, Tony, I'm going to give a personal shout-out to everybody joining me in the chat room in a second. I'm just, hey, Tiff, you got to add a picture. Your shoe said, where's your picture? I don't know what that means because I see your picture. Oh, Tiff is saying to your shoe, where's your picture? Sorry about that. Yeah, where's your picture? We need to see what everybody looks like. Gas in Amsterdam is $12 a gallon. Wowzers. That's more than I have in my Chase account. No. Which one did it sell? Yeshua's just saying he's going to post his picture soon. Da 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 da. Oh, Tony Reeves, Esquire. Tony, I listened to your show this morning, and it was fabulous. He has a great show, everybody. I'm going to shout out everybody's show in a minute. Do me a favor for everybody in the chat room. Shoot me the right time and dates of your show, because I don't want to start giving information, and then I'm giving the wrong information. But Tony Reeves, Esquire, says we got it pop lock and the show stopping over here. Yeah, we do. I have a good show. I put a lot of effort into my show every single day, and I just want to make sure you guys don't waste your 1 hour. So I just want to say thank y'all for joining me. So send me over when your show is so I can get it correct. Tony Reeves, I know his show is Monday through Friday at 8 o'clock in the morning on Blog Talk Radio. He's got a good show, and I listen to his show. Tiffany's show is Wednesday nights at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. She's the hip-hop entrepreneur. Dropping Siege is Saturday morning at 11 a.m. I always have to listen to his show through the archives because God only knows where I am Saturday morning at 11 o'clock in the morning, probably out doing a taping or something like that. But I do listen in the archives because I'm going to try my best. No, I can't even do it this weekend, Pastor, because I will be on the ball Saturday morning. And then this weekend, Saturday night, is my high school reunion from 6 to 10. So I just had, like, my last meal. I just ate pasta and garlic bread at, like, 11 o'clock in the morning because that gives me 5 days to try to lose an ounce for my high school reunion this Saturday. It's going to be 19 years since I got out of high school. Facebook is the bomb because it allows you just to connect with everybody. Let me just give a quick hello to everybody in the chat room. Tony Reeves, guest number 409. Thank you, guests, whoever you are listening to the show. Thank you very much. I don't see who it is, but we thank you for joining us. TrueView joins us. Yeshua, Dropping Seed, and Tiff, my faithful listeners from Cali, Tennessee, Texas. TrueView, what state are you in again? And also, Tony, what state are you in? Ms. D is probably going to join us in a moment. She's in Philly. So that's what it is. Now on to my other hot topics that I want to talk about today. I did want to talk about gas. And for all of those of you who are in the South, let me know if you guys can get gas because we didn't experience any type of gas, any type of gas shortage up here. So that didn't really affect us. Oh, I do have something else I want to touch on. There's a missing girl, and I believe they found her body. I don't know her name. I don't know what state she's in, but I'm going to tell you why I'm talking about it. She's Caucasian, and I just think I got an Amber Alert in my email from my friend Sebastian in the Bay Area about a little black girl who's missing. She's 3 years old and just is absolutely as cute as a button, just as darling as she wants to be. And we're passing around the Amber Alert through email and through this and through that. And I just found it very odd that I didn't hear about it on the radio. I didn't hear about it on any of the radio shows, Michael Bazin, Wendy Williams, Steve Harvey. And it's very sad, but children go missing every day. But lo and behold, on trusty MSNBC, Tamron Hall was reporting on a nice, attractive teenage white girl who's missing. And I just find it ironic that we never talk about white guys who are missing. Dare we talk about anybody black who's missing. But any other ethnicity, it just boggles my mind that the only people that society feels are worth mentioning on TV that are missing are white females. And is it because they're perceived as being the most vulnerable? I have no idea. But I'm a little tired of seeing that. So I'm going to make sure that any person of color, or even not of color, that's a guy that goes missing, whether they're mentally retarded or just a person who's missing, I'm going to make sure I put it on my blog, because I'm tired of just seeing or having people perceive that only white girls go missing in this country. There's a lot of stuff going on in the chat room. Let me see what that is. And then we're going to get into the firing of the 9 U.S. attorneys, because I think that's worth mentioning as well. Let me read what's going on. TrueView is, oh, his show is blogtalkradio.com/TrueViewRadio. And that's spelled TrueVue Radio. And his show comes on, his next show is coming on October 2nd at 8 o'clock. So October 2nd is Thursday. So Thursday night at 8 is when TrueView's next show is coming on. This Saturday, Dropping Seed is doing a rerun of How to Do Business in Ministry. Tiff is saying it's getting scary with the gas shortage. Oh, yeah, about the gas shortage. I heard gas only travels 5 miles an hour through the pipes. I heard that in one of the news reports, and that's one of the reasons why it takes so long for us to get gas, because it travels at such an incredibly slow pace. So let's try not to drive so much, I guess. I don't know. That's how that goes with the gas. Let's see what else we got. Doing show, TrueView is doing a show, Single Life After. Oh, wow, Single Life After a Mastectomy and Does Cancer Have a Face Next Month. Those are good, because you guys know I just sent it out on Twitter and on Facebook and all of my blogs that my mother has just been diagnosed cancer-free. She was stage 3 ovarian cancer. She was diagnosed at stage 3. She had a fever that just wouldn't go away. And when she went to the hospital last year, they said, oh, you have stage 3 ovarian cancer. We're going for comfort and not a cure, which pretty much they told her, get your paperwork in order. And then last week she was diagnosed as cancer-free, so maybe I'll have her call into your show. So that's what's going on in the chat room. Looks like we're going back to this Amber Alert thing. Tiff is saying that the Amber Alert is a soft sale for the microchips. You never heard of an Amber Alert on a guy or male. And now she says, check it out on verachip.com. Wow, I'm going to that right now. So for those of you who are listening at work and cannot participate in the chat room, please log on to www.verachip.com, V-E-R-I, like ice cream, C-H-I-P.com. I can't speak on this right now because I don't have enough information on it, and I'm not well-versed. Tiff, if you want to call in and give us some information that you would like to share, I welcome you to call in. But that was one of my talking points for today's show, on top of the Wachovia mess that we said at the top of the show, the bailout, gas, the missing girl with the Amber Alert. And I do want to get into the firing of the U.S. attorneys. But since we're this kind of Amber Alert thing is coming up, let's have a quick conversation about it. Tiff is saying that's the site for the company that are putting chips into people. Tiff, just hit me back on the chat room real quick if you can join us, because if not, I'm going to go on to my next topic for today. So I'm just going to wait to see. They have approved 56 hospitals between the United States and Canada to put the chips in. Okie doke. I hear you. Should I move on? Tiff, just hit me in the chat room and let me know if you're going to call in or not. The number to call in is 347-633-9113. There she is. There's somebody. Hold on. Hey, this is Sai. You're on with me for LifeRemixRadio.com. Thank you for joining us, caller. Who's there?
It's Tiffany Janae.
Girl, thank you for calling in. tell us a little bit about what's going on with this VeriChip.
The VeriChip, basically, it was approved by the FDA in 2004, and what it does is it's a chip that they want to implant into our arms, and it has everything that makes you you on there. So all of your banking information, your medical records, your passport, your driver's license, everything that is you is you. They've approved it with 56 hospitals between Canada and the United States, so they're already putting them into people. And the way that they're marketing them now is they're putting them into patients that have dementia and Alzheimer's. So they're basically selling these families and telling them, you know, we'll put the chip inside of your loved one, because what if Uncle Henry has a spell and he gets lost and he hurts himself and we have to treat him? Well, if he can't even tell us who he is or his medical information, we might treat him wrong and that might kill him. So if you put the chip into him, then this way he's safe. So they're selling it that way. And I seen them say in the chat room, it's the mark of the beast. And this is one of the mark of the beast. In fact, I used to think that this is the mark of the beast, but someone put me up on it that our social, I'm sorry, my phone faded out. Our social security numbers were actually the mark of the beast. But this is another form of it. And so there's only 4 states in the United States that have said, that have passed some type of law or statute saying that you can't make an employee's employment contingent upon them having the chip inside of them. Otherwise, they were going to put all of your badge and work information inside of the chip too. And if you refused to get a chip, then you wouldn't have a job.
What?
So,
are you serious?
Yeah, it's very crazy. And it's very, very crazy. But the thing about it is that almost every animal that they tested putting this chip inside of developed cancer because of the chip, because it's radioactive. So imagine what that's doing to people. It's very crazy. And I've believed for years that this, like the Amber Alert and the child kidnappings and everything, was a soft sell for them to get this chip approved, because they, as you know, our government works off of fear. So they've been scaring people. Now kids can't even go outside and play anymore because parents are scared, like as if there's some kidnapping predator sitting on every corner. But they've got us thinking that. So now it's like, you know, they build it up. Now they put the Amber Alerts on your freeways, so it's in your face. So now when they introduce the chip on a mass level, people will be more receptive to it. And one other thing, this they actually, another soft sell that they did, they introduced this on animals at first. So the chips that you get put into your pets, in case your dog or your cat is lost, it's made by the same company, the Very Chip company. So they've been selling it on your animals as well, but it's the same exact concept.
You know what's crazy? My son and I had a conversation last night, and y'all know I'm getting ready to tell you something personal. He was like, yeah, Mommy, everybody got a tattoo on their neck. I'm going to get a tattoo with my name on it. And I thought I was going to die and fall out of my chair. I was like, sweetheart, it's not good to get a tattoo. You know, tattoos are just not very nice. So, you know, that was the mother side of me. And, you know, the first thing these teenagers come out with, but you got one. And I said, yeah, honey, but Mommy has, and, you know, my tattoo is probably the size of a quarter, maybe a 50-cent piece, and it's a teeny-weeny rose. But as I was explaining this, see, out of the mouth of babes, let me tell you, as I was explaining this, divine revelation and wisdom was poured into me. All of these young people getting their names on their neck and their kids' names on their forearm, it is an identifier. I'm not that old, but I remember coming up, nobody had a tattoo. It was in Arabic, we call it haram, H-A-R-A-M, like that's haram. That's very bad. Like I can't think of how to say it in an English way, in like an American way, aside from saying, oh, that's pretty bad. But we would say if something is haram, it's very, very, like that's the worst thing you can do. Like say if you cheat on your spouse, that's haram, the absolute worst thing you could do. And as I was explaining this, such an innocent thing about a tattoo, it came to me like, no, don't do it. Now it's so easy to identify who you are because you got your name on your neck, your mama on your shoulder, your cousin on your toe, your sister
where you're
on
from.
Yeah, you got where you're from, what set
your
you
religion beliefs.
It's got everything. And so
yep.
I think it was just so precious, the fact that I had an opportunity to talk directly to my son about something like tattoos. And I can't honestly say don't go get a tattoo, even though that's what I say. But I say don't get a tattoo, but I say it because I don't want him to be tattooed. But even with that, get something discreet and small. But to get your tattoo on your neck and all that craziness, I am so against it. And the more we talk about the mark and the chip and the, all of that stuff, it becomes apparent, just because if you think that it was a very bad thing and only bikers and street people had tattoos, now you've got basketball players that are tatted up and that it's trendy. Why is it trendy? Anything you see in a movie is softening your ear gates and your eye gates to what they want you to believe. So when you see all these things in a movie, it's entertainment. So when it starts to, when life starts to imitate art, you're like, man, that ain't even, I was in a movie, because movies are considered as entertaining. And so what happens is go right over our head, the message, the subtle messages that are meant for us to receive, we miss them because we blow it off as entertainment, we blow it off as something funny, we blow it off as something that's not important, when in fact, that's the real deal. And you know, anybody knows the best place to hide something is right in front of somebody's face.
That's
you can
right.
put something right there in front of somebody, and they'll walk past it 50 million times, and then you can say, well, it was there. How did you not see it? Let me just read something that just was dropped into the chat room. 666 represented by three Greek letters, chi, xi, and stigma, an obsolete letter that at one time was the sixth and continued, whoa, hold on, you're putting it in too fast. Hold on. Because the screen just scrolled. Okay, hold on. Let me start back from the beginning. Okay, 666 represented by the three Greek letters, chi, xi, and stigma, an obsolete letter that at one time was the sixth and continued to be used when letters were combined like this to represent numbers. Actually, the value of the numbers individually are 666, based on Genesis 1:26 through 31. The account of mankind's creation on the sixth day. It is Hebrew tradition that six is the number of a, come on, Yeshua, is a, is the number of a, okay, I'm sure he'll post it in a minute, but at least that gives us food for thought. So for everybody that's listening and can't check it out in the chat room right now, he's saying that actually the value of the numbers individually are 606 and 60 based on Genesis 1:26 through 31, the account of mankind's creation on the sixth day. It is Hebrew tradition that six is the number of a, oh, okay, dropping seed and Yeshua both said man. Okay, so it's the number of a man or number of man. So thanks to everybody. And we all hold each other accountable in this room every day. If anybody says something that they respectfully disagree with, now is the forum, because at the end of the day, it's about sharing information, sharing knowledge, and making sure we understand what's going on. I just need to touch really quickly on the firings of the U.S. attorneys. Does anybody remember a couple of months ago, I'm going to touch on this a little bit more tomorrow. This is a precursor for tomorrow, about the firings of the U.S. attorneys. Well, you know, a lot of people were saying that they were George Bush's friends and this and that. And now Alberto Gonzalez, who was the highest office running the legal part of our country, the Department of Justice and all of these other things therein, they found that these people were illegally terminated and illegally fired. So I think it's something, again, just us worth looking into, and I will be touching on that a little bit more in depth. I will have done a lot more research. I will have more information and more facts for us tomorrow. But I also want to announce a special guest for tomorrow's show. Tiff said I hung up, Cy. Thanks for hearing me out. Oh, that's okay, because it's all good. Thank you, she said I hung up. It's all good. I go back and forth between emails just to make sure that there's nothing major happening on the Internet while I'm on the air, because I want to give you guys the latest information. Yeah, Tiff, I was just getting ready to talk about our special guest for tomorrow, and I will send out a tweet about it, so everybody that's following me on Twitter twitter.com/SkyBrown, who's following me on Facebook, Sky Brown, and who's following me on my email list, I am having the general manager of The Source magazine on the show tomorrow, and I'm very, very, very excited to have her. Her name is Amy. She is now charged with restoring the life and luster of the hip-hop magazine, The Source. I'm bringing her on so we can talk about the direction of the magazine. I'm bringing her on to talk about what happened to the magazine, because I'll tell you something. I told her when, in my request, that at one point, my son, who was 9 years old at the time, was a better writer than half the writers they had up at The Source magazine. And she just kind of chuckled. You know, she didn't say anything. Of course, she's not going to say anything. But just think about it. I mean, The Source magazine is where a lot of people go for information, knowledge, and wisdom that may not tune into Fox or CNN or MSNBC or CNBC. And it just kind of lost its way with Dave Mays and Ray Benzino and the lawsuit with Kim Osorio. It just kind of, and now I cannot tell you, I have not read a Source magazine in a bajillion years. Like if I travel a lot, y'all all know I speak around the country and I do travel. And I'll pick one up at the airport. And I did get one when Ice Cube was on the cover in Latif. I think that was for their 20th anniversary issue, but I don't, it wasn't like required reading like it was at one point. So Amy will be on the show tomorrow to talk about The Source, and I'm very excited about that. So yippee for me for getting that get. That's going to be a great interview. So tune in tomorrow. So actually, I'm just going to touch on the firings of the U.S. attorneys. And if for some reason the show gets preempted, like if, you know, she can't make it or something, which I don't even want to think about, we'll go into that more in depth. If not, I'll touch on it tomorrow, and then we'll go into more detail about it on Wednesday, because I always want to bring you accurate, accurate information. And that's it about that. I think that wraps up our show, everybody. I mean, this was a good show. We have a good show every single day. Oh, one more thing. Y'all know I forgot one thing. You all know that Noval, N-O-V-A-L, is in the chat room every single day, and she listens to the show. Her real name is LaVon, and she is a dear friend of mine here in the New York City area. Her uncle passed away last week. Last night was the wake, and I did attend the wake and support her. She has a humongous family, and this morning was the funeral. So can we all continue to keep her and her family in prayer at this time where they're burying her uncle? And on that note, I'm going to end the show, say thank you to everybody for listening. Please be on the line early tomorrow, because I'm going to have Amy do like most of the show. I'm only going to talk for like a couple of minutes as opposed to like the 10 minutes that I usually do. And just remember that the light of God surrounds us, love of God enfolds us, the power of God protects us, the presence of God watches over us. Wherever I am, God is, and wherever you are, God is. Thanks, God, and so it is. And dropping seed, I'm going to call her in a minute. I'll let her know that you're going to pray for her family. Thank you, because we truly are a family here at Life Remix Radio, where we come at you every single day at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. God bless everybody, and I'll see you all tomorrow with Amy on the line. Peace.